I've been made to make this, been told to make this announcement. Carolyn West brought some okra, is that correct? And there's a bunch of okra that's back in the old kitchen, right? In the refrigerator. Oh, it's on the bar, okay. And you can take it. It's not already cooked and fried and all that, right? Okay. All right. So if you need some okra, go to the old kitchen. It's up for grabs. Is that out of your garden?
Yes.
Awesome. Awesome. So it's, everybody's welcome to it. So go grab some okra and take it home with you today so we can don't hurt her feelings. Let's get it all gone, okay? Now do share. I don't want to see y'all grab one person grabbing both bags and go out the door. Stacy? Make sure you meet Stacy in the kitchen, okay? I'm just saying. Thank you, Randy, for pointing that out behind her. Randy points you out. I know, that's true. Yes. I know. So go grab. So we appreciate you bringing that. We really do. Thank you. There's an old saying that real estate agents use. Location, location, location. Right? Is everything. You can have the most beautiful home in the world, but if it's in the wrong location, you in trouble. Or if our location changes, we can get in trouble. Or if the location is not where someone wants you to be, we can be in trouble. For the person that wants the city life, living in Union Grove is not what they want. For someone that wants the country life, living in Charlotte is not what they want. It's all about location. What are you close to? What are you away from? Are you close and accessible to good roads? And are you far away from neighbors you don't like? Location, location, location. So I got thinking about this message, about how it's time for us spiritually to move. That sometimes we stay at our location way too long. We stay there because we're comfortable with it. We stay there because maybe that's all we've ever known. We stay there because that's what we've been taught. We stay there because we're afraid to move. We're afraid what is around the next corner. We're afraid of making a wrong decision. But spiritually, if the devil can keep you paralyzed where you're at, he is happy. He is so happy when you are bound and miserable and sick. A song like we just sung a while ago makes him really mad. It makes him redder than what he already is. Resurrection power. Christ living on the inside of us. So if you're tired of where you're at, there's a very simple solution this morning. Sometimes we pray this prayer. It's a good prayer. There's nothing wrong with it necessarily. But we pray, God, I need you to move. Oh, God Almighty in heaven creation. And oh, Abba, Father. And we're snarling, snotting, and crying, and weeping. God, when you going to move? Oh, God, when you going to move? Thank you. I'm telling you, this happens all the time. These kids are hearing the word. And they're bearing witness that this is truth. And what God is sitting there doing, he's going, I did move. Why aren't you moving? Why aren't you moving into what I have prepared for you? Why are you not moving into what I have made available to you? Why are you not moving when you know you don't belong anymore in the shackles of shame and guilt and condemnation and sorrow and discouragement and disappointments and all that stuff? You know you don't belong here because guess what? We just sung it, right? I've set you free. No more chains shackled on me. I've set you free. Why do we live as slaves when we have been set free? There's an old story about an elephant. I saw before the old elephants in the circus where they would chain elephants up to keep them in place. And they would put chains around their legs so they wouldn't wander off. Well, after a few weeks of that, they could take the chains off and those elephants wouldn't move from that spot, even when they were free, because they were trained to stay right there. Sometimes as Christians, we're staying where we don't belong just out of habit or out of fear or out of that's all I know. And God is saying, I've got something over here for you, but you've got to move to get it. Notice the okra is not in your car right now. The okra is in our kitchen. So if you want okra, you can sit there all you want. You know, Stacy can sit there all she wants. Lord, move that okra up here into me. Move that okra, God, into my hands. Oh, Lord, you can supernaturally zap it like Star Trek. Beam me up some okra, God. Hallelujah. And God can do that. But when I've done told Stacy there's free okra in the refrigerator 50 feet behind you, and she refused to go get it, and she's starving and she's empty and she's bankrupt, it's not God's fault. It's not the okra's fault. It is her fault because she is failing to move into what God has prepared for her. It's time to move. That's why nobody sits in the front row, because they get picked on. It's time to move. I'm going to read a scripture. Genesis chapter 12, 5 verses. This is when God called Abraham. Look what he said in verse 1. The Lord had said to Abram, "Get out of your country and from your kindred and from your father's house unto a land that I will show you." There's a land God has waiting on us. Now, we know there's a future land, glory land, beauty land, all that. But I'm talking about here on the earth. There's a place God wants us to walk in here. And he shows us where to go. But we've got to be willing to step out of what we don't know into what God says he has waiting on us. And that takes faith. That takes courage. That takes discernment. It takes obedience. To say, you know what? A leap of faith, God, I'm going to trust you. Because my life now is not where I want to be. Things aren't really working out. I've got sorrow. I've got misery. I've got pain. I've got demons that are always on me, and I can't seem to get free. Sometimes we got to move to get rid of those things. We got to move away from where we're at and go to where God wants us to be. Somebody shared on Facebook this morning I thought was really cool. I hope I can remember the quote exactly because I've done put it out there now. That sometimes storms... Ralph shared it, actually. Storms don't always come to destroy us, but storms come to clear a path. Something like that. Storms don't always come to destroy us. Sometimes storms come to clear a path. Think about that. How many of us would do things if we weren't kind of nudged sometimes? If we weren't nudged. You know, I made Ashley, of course, this was a bad example. 2 years ago, I made Ashley ride Space Mountain down at Magic Kingdom. It's a roller coaster. Oh, you're 10? Oh, well, whatever. Excuse me. 6 years ago, I made her ride Space Mountain. I made Mom ride it, too, actually. And they both got issues since. They're still paying someone. But anyway, I said, oh, it's okay. You're going to love it. Come on. And she, I got her on it. And at first, she liked it. She was squealing. Ashley was. Woo! Then all of a sudden, clinging to her mama. I hate this. But you know what? Ashley will always have that memory. And guess what? If Space Mountain closed tomorrow and Mickey Mouse goes out of business, she will always say, I rode that ride. Sometimes we got to be nudged into things. We got to be nudged to realize that what we are fearing. Can I tell them the story about Christian? Or do you not want me to? Rough, Christian. Okay, no, this is a teachable moment Melanie had. Now, talking about nudging someone, moving them to a place to realize the fear is what you're seeing and not the real issue. We had a little beagle dog years ago, and Christian was terrified of it. Scared this little beagle. It wasn't anything wrong with it, but Christian was scared of it. I kept telling, honey, it ain't going to hurt you. Why are you afraid of this little beagle dog? She was nervous. So you know what Melanie does? This is why I asked if I could tell us. You ever heard of tough love? Randy, you know about tough love, brother. All right. Melanie puts Christian outside the back door with the dog. She locked her kid out of the house, Michael, with the dog. But what happened, Melanie, in that moment? She had a breakthrough moment, right? We can have a breakthrough moment. Sometimes we just got to be moved out of where we're at to where God wants us to be. And that does take courage. So here's Abraham. God tells him to move to a land I'm going to show you. Notice Abraham didn't already have it, wasn't already in the book. How many times we say, God, I'd go if you just show me. If I just knew everything would be all right. I'd obey. What? Duh. I mean, it's like standing at the altar with your wife, right? Your fiance, and you're getting married. And if you could see the future of how it all would turn out, most of us wouldn't have done it. I mean, I would have. I'm just saying. We look back and you think, we don't know what getting married's about. It's a step of faith. I'm taking this woman as my wife for the rest of my life, through good and through bad, through rich and through poor, through sickness and health, when she's a good girl and a bad girl, when she's nagging, when she's not nagging, when she cooks, when she don't cook, when she cleans and don't clean, when she gets on my drive and don't get on my drive, and all those things, I'm going to marry her. It's a step of faith. We don't look at the future and say, okay, God, I'll marry her for 50 years, but I got to kind of know how it's going to work out. Faith is all about stepping into something we can't see, but we trust God enough, he's going to bring it to pass. So here's Abraham saying, I'm going to show you a land. He didn't know it yet. He hadn't been there yet. He didn't know the full plan yet. He just heard God say, leave where you're at. I'm going to put you somewhere else. So let's see what Abraham does. Verse 2. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you, and I will make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I want to talk about this verse a minute. Notice, how was Abraham going to be blessed? By doing what? Moving. He was going to be blessed by moving to where God wanted him to be. The blessing wasn't where he was at. The blessing was going to be where he was going to be at. The blessing was about Abraham's obedience to trust God for something more than what he had now. Because there is more for God's people than what we exercise day by day. Resurrection power, the Holy Spirit in us. For those of us that are in Christ, we are empowered with more than ourself. We're empowered more than our abilities and our emotions. We're empowered with the creator of the universe. We're empowered. That upper room experience wasn't just for 120 people. It was for everyone that would call upon the name of the Lord. They should be empowered. They shall be endued on high with power to be a witness for me in this generation. We have more power than we realize if our power is in Christ. So we say, I can't move. I don't know how to move, Pastor. I know I need to be a different place, but I can't seem to get out of here because I'm stuck. It's all about just rising up and stepping out and trusting God for the rest. He will make a way. If God has called you, he will fulfill what he has called. He will complete, the Bible says, what he has begun in you. He will. He's not going to leave you out there in no man's land. He's not going to leave you stuck between Charlotte and Union Grove, okay? He's going to place you one of the places. He's going to place you where he wants you. But it is a journey, and we cannot be scared of the journey because God is leading our journey. God's in charge. I'll bless you, Abraham. I've got blessings waiting on you as you go. And I will bless them that bless you. I'll curse them that curse you. And in you shall all families of the earth be blessed. Talking about a move. God was really moving here. So Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. There are folks that can't leave where they're at. He had to leave his family. All that he knew. All he's familiar with. And go somewhere he didn't know. He had to leave what he was comfortable with in order to get what God had waiting on him. You know, there's an old joke I told years ago. Sometimes we follow tradition to the point that it's foolishness. There are some I think traditions are good. There's traditions that we celebrate. There's traditions that we like. There's traditions that are important. But sometimes tradition can get in the way of transition. Of what God is wanting us to do. The old story of there's three generations one Thanksgiving in the kitchen cooking. There was, you know, grandma, mama, and daughter. And, you know, the little daughter looked at her mama and says, Mama says, why do you cut a piece of that roast off before we put it in the pot? My mama did it. So go ask her. Go ask your grandma why she did it. So grandma went and did it. She said, well, said, I always cut a piece of the roast off and threw it away. So why'd you do it? So my mama did it. Well, great grandma was there in the kitchen. So go ask my mama. She always did it, so I always did it too. She went and asked her great-grandma, says, great-grandma, why do you always cut a piece of the roast off and don't put in a pot and just, you know, you don't put it in there, you throw it away? And she goes, well, darling, I didn't have a pot big enough for my roast. So four generations have suffered and lost some good rump roast All because they didn't know the story. How many times are we just doing stuff out of tradition that has no meaning anymore? Instead of saying, God, I want manna for today. Remember last week we talked about, we're at John 6 where Jesus, the living bread, came down from heaven. He said, the bread that came down, you know, well, they said Moses sent us this bread. So what did Moses send to you? I did. But during Moses' day, that manna that came down, they ate it and they're dead. That's what the Bible says. They ate that manna and they're dead. But this bread that I offer you is living. And whoever eats of this bread shall never die. Sometimes we're on manna of yesterday, and that's why we're dead. That's why we're broken. That's why we're in despair. That's why we're in darkness. That's why there's no hope. It's time to throw away yesterday's bread and say, God, give me daily bread. Give me manna for right now. Can somebody besides me get excited in here? This is good preaching, y'all. Hallelujah. Care what y'all say. It is time we recognize and we realize that just because we've always done it this way doesn't mean it has to always be that way. We can change things up and let God change us to put us where he wants us for right now. I'm not 25 no more. My season's different than it was at 25. I'm not 35 no more. My season's different at 35. I'm in a different season of my life. What works for me now is different than what worked for me then. Even me and Mel's relationship is different now than it was 20 years ago. My children's relationship, I've got a grown daughter that I have a relationship with in Florida. It's an adult child relationship, and that's different for me. My season has changed. My season is different. Don't be afraid to evolve into where God is taking you because you don't know how it's going to end up. If God's in it, guess what? It ends up pretty doggone good because God's in it. So how can it fail if I know God is in it? So I trust him. So Abraham went. Look what he did. He went. He obeyed. He left all that he knew, all that he had, and he left as God has spoken. And Lot went with him. And Abraham, Doc, just to give you encouragement, brother, Abraham was 75 years old when he left. You ain't too old to move for God. And Abraham didn't live like 800-900 years like them other guys. Abraham lived, 130 or something like that? So he was 75 years old. He had some years on him. Some of us say, well, I'm just setting my ways. I ain't going to change. You can't teach an old dog new tricks. I've always been this way. My daddy was that way. My grandpap was that way. His grandpap was that way. I'm just who I am. I am who I is and is who I am. And that's it, period. 75, man. Most of us 75 ain't working. Most 75-year-olds are retired or at least partly retired. They ain't about to move. We're not talking about changing houses from one to the other. We're talking about a man taking a journey, leaving all that he had known and established to say, okay, God, what you got for me next? I know my friend Bill loves to move. I don't like to move like Bill does. We've had 3 homes in our lives, me and Melon. We're in our 3rd home since we've been married. I won't tell how many Bill's been in. Bill loves to move. And sometimes moving is a good thing. My wife said when we left our last house, we was there 18 years. And then before that, I grew up in that area my whole life. So that's the only side of town I knew, really, my whole life. I mean, I've lived in the one side of town my whole life until we just moved 2 years ago. And I moved to the west side. And my wife was so concerned. James, I'm just worried about you. You know, I mean, you've lived here your whole life. You will be happy way out there. And I just worry you will be able to adjust. Man, I've been celebrating ever since. I love where I'm at. I love my new location. I love where I'm at. And I am enjoying life. It is where I'm supposed to be right now. And what's funny is the very one that talked to me about it has been the one that's had a harder time adjusting. I'm like, I am happy. What does that mean? You're more of an Eastern North girl? I just play it. Anyway, I like where I'm at. But it was tough. I remember the last night of our house was empty, and we're in the main dining room, and we join hands and we say a prayer in our empty home for the last time. And it was a little emotional, and I ain't gonna lie to you, I shed a couple tears. I mean, that's the only house my daughter Ashley ever lived in. And really the only one my other 2 kids really remember. And so we raised our whole family there. And so it was very emotional. I remember crying that night a little bit and shed some tears, and it was emotional. But by the next day, I was cool. And I was okay. It's potty time up in here. I'm ready to move. I want something fresh, something different, something new, something exciting. There's something about moving and relocating that can get your juices going and can create a new vision in your mind and your head and gives you new things to push for, to dream for. Don't get stuck just because you think you can't get unstuck. You can get unstuck if you follow God. Step out spiritually and don't stay stuck no more. So Abraham's going on this journey, and he was 75 years old. Verse 5, Abraham took Sarah, his wife, and Lot's brother, and all their substance, all they had gathered, and the souls they had gotten in Haran, and they went forth into the land of Canaan. Into the land of Canaan they came. Now we know the rest of the story of Abraham. It went pretty good, didn't it? His obedience turned out to be a pretty good thing. He became the father of many nations, became the father of all nations, really. And even Jesus alludes to him, saying that we are the seed of Abraham. And that just as Abraham is accounting him for righteousness, so will it be for us as well. Abraham moved by faith. He moved by faith. It's time that we move and don't stay in the same location. And I'm talking spiritually, not talking physically. I mean, it could be physically for some of y'all, but I'm talking spiritually. That we don't stay in the same location just because that's all that we're supposed to have. Let me give you some examples. God moved Abraham. We know that, right? God moved Moses. God moved Moses from a desert into Pharaoh's court. He moved Moses, who was a murderer and who was a fugitive on the run. But God moved him from that place and put him in a place to deliver 2 million people. God moved Joseph. He moved Joseph from his family's gathering into a pit. He moved him from a pit to the palace, back to prison, and from the prison, back to the palace. God kept moving Joseph's life and repositioning him where God wanted him. God moved David. David's a shepherd boy, right? He moved David from a shepherd boy in a field and made him king. He moved David from this little kid, this runny kid who had no king skills. But that's the one God chose. He didn't choose the other ones that were more in line. He didn't choose the ones that made sense. He chose the one that he called. He moved Daniel from a lion's den to a place of authority and promotion. He moved Lazarus from the grave back to life. And he moves us from where we are to where he wants us to be. See, God can move us past our shame and guilt into his beauty. He can move us past our sorrow into his joy. He can move us past our weakness into his strength. He can move us past our pain into his healing. He can move us past our darkness into his light. He can move us past what we've been into what we're supposed to be. He can move us past all the burdens that we carry, and he can set us free and put us in a place of rest. God is on the move, and God is moving in us. But are we moving with God? That's the deal. Because God has done all he could possibly do at Calvary. He said on the cross, "It is finished. I have finished. I have completed the plan that I was supposed to fulfill. I have canceled out the debt of sin that stood over mankind. I have paid the price for humanity. The chains have now been taken off. No more law binds them. No more sin separates them. I have paid the price for that. Him who knew no sin became sin, that we could become the righteous of God through Christ Jesus." That's what he came to do. It's finished. But we're still walking in a state of that shame or that darkness or that discouragement or that fear or that sickness, that disease, that mind issue, that emotional issue. We're still walking in that place, not realizing that as we move, we will see the blessing of God move with us. But if we stay where we're at, the definition of insanity, right? Doing the same thing over and over, expecting a different result. We exhaust our lives with that. Doing the same thing over and over. Most people that get locked up in prison, a high percentage are repeat offenders because they do the same thing again to get them locked up again. They think this time they'll get away with it. This time I won't get caught. This time I'll be smarter. This time I'll be sneakier. This time I'll have eyes watching out for me. This time I'll carry a weapon. This time I'll do this. This time I'll have a faster car. I won't drive no Ford Pinto. I'll get a Corvette and I'll be gone. Whatever the issue is. And they find out that guess what? You're going to get caught again. Because you're repeating the same behavior. When you wake up in the mornings, are we waking up with an attitude and a nature of, like Rodney said, complaining and grumbling? Melanie knows I don't talk in the mornings for the first few minutes. I'm not an ill mood. I'm just a quiet guy. The one time I'm quiet is in the mornings. I get up and I shuffle like E.T., you know. My eyes half closed. I'm not a perky waker upper. Okay? I need some Folgers up in my cup. You know, I'm not. Melanie's great. She wakes up. Gets up at 4:30 in the morning, wakes up, or 4 o'clock in the morning, whatever, gets up, you know, she's perky and gets her little, you know, I'm not like that. I don't like getting out of bed. But I have to. That's what Melanie said. So I do. But anyway, do we wake up with that attitude and then we wonder why our days are miserable, why our lives are miserable? Well, let's see. What are we doing when we wake up in the mornings? Are we giving God praise and glory? Are we complaining and grumbling? Are we praying? Are we not praying? What are we doing? Because what our behavior is, what we go through, is what develops and shapes our day, our weeks, our months, our seasons, our lives. So change your routine. Well, I don't really pray much in the mornings. I just ain't my thing. Well, make it your thing. See what happens. Wake up shouting hallelujah. I know I'm preaching the choir right here. I get it. Wake up and change that routine. Do things differently. Let God move you somewhere else to where He wants you to be. God has things waiting on us, but sometimes we can't get them because we're not in the right place to receive them. I'll go back to the okra. Nobody in this sanctuary, if you stay in this seat today, will get no okra because it ain't going to magically float in here, and I'm not going to go get it and give it to you. So unless you rise up and get it, you go home okraless. Unless we rise up to where God has, we still walk away empty. In the same way we came in. God, I want to move into where you want me to be. And I may not understand it all. And I may have some fears, some doubts, and some speculations, some anxiety about it. But God, I really want things in my life to be different. And I want to be where you want me to be. God was always, throughout the Word, positioning people where he wanted to be. Remember a little story of Esther? Esther was an immigrant. Remember, she went to a foreign country, left her homeland. And she went as an immigrant. And what happened? God made her a queen. Took this little immigrant girl because of her love and loyalty and faith. And promoted her and moved her into a place that was very special. It's what God does. God moves us. We are to be the blessing to someone. It's kind of, like I say this all the time. People say, you know, Pastor, pray for me. I need a blessing. That's great. Have you blessed anybody? You know, maybe there's somebody waiting on you to be a blessing to them. How's the blessing come? The blessing don't come. None of you are going to go home today. More than likely. I mean, I know God can do anything. I preached that Monday night, right? Many, all things are possible. I get that. But none of you are probably going to go home today and have a big stack of cash on your front porch. If you do, call a popo because it's probably illegal. You're not going to have it that way. How are each of us blessed? By people. That's the vehicle God uses to bless us, is people. It has to go from one hand to another hand. That's the vehicle God uses. So be that blessing to someone. Understand that sometimes we're saying, God, move. Why don't we move? Maybe God's waiting on us to drop that seed before he can bring that harvest. We are to sow seeds to our fellow man. Seeds to the kingdom of God. Seeds to other lives. We were created here not for us. We were created for him foremost and to serve him. And part of serving him is serving each other and being a blessing to each other. It's so liberating when you're able to do something for someone else. And I know for most people it is a sacrifice, but that's what makes it beautiful. Because as you sow that seed and you make that move to say, I'm going to do something I've never done before, God takes that seed, whether it's financial, whether it's something you do for someone's life, whether it's, you know, spiritual move, whatever it is, I'm going to take this seed of faith and plant it. And God, you do something with it. And watch what God will do. Abraham, the seed he planted was his faith in trusting God and leaving what he knew. And look what happened to him. Oh, my goodness. Remember, God blessed him later, too. He was almost 100 years old when he had this kid. Remember that? God promised Abraham and Sarah a child. Sarah's womb was dead. She was old. He was already died. Abraham was about 75 when God made this promise to him. He had to wait 25 years to get it. Didn't happen until he was almost 100 years old. Sarah actually laughed behind Abraham when the angel told him, you have a child. And Sarah laughed. And she got called out. What are you laughing about? And then she kind of got nervous. Oh, nothing. Nothing. I'm not laughing. Not me laughing. That's her laughing. You know what happened? In their old age, here come Isaac. God moved upon the dead womb of Sarah and opened it up to give way to this promised seed of Isaac. God moved. They had to wait. And they waited, and they waited, and they waited. But God moved upon her womb in the right time and the right season. Just because it's not happened now doesn't mean it's not on the way. Trust me. God is working things out. It's all about his timing and his season and his purpose. So trust it and wait on it and believe it. God is moving in us. He's moving in the hearts of his people. He's moving in the minds of his people. He's moving in the church. He's moving in this world. He is moving. He is not laying dormant somewhere. He has not turned a deaf ear. He's not turned a blind eye. He's not lifted his hand up off you. He is with you, a present help in your time of trouble, the Bible says. And that'll never change. It's time to move. Location, location, location is everything. Because when we're in the right place, things work out. And we're in the wrong place, it's disastrous. And man, I know it's hard to pack them bags and move sometimes. I know that it's hard. You know, God has moved me spiritually as a pastor the last 16 years. He's moved me spiritually in the Word of God, in things that I used to believe in, that now God has moved me into different areas of seeing the truth of who he is. It's a beautiful thing when we allow God to move us.
That's right.
When I first started this church, and I want to share this, I think it's important that you hear this, something God moved me on is I was raised it was a Pentecostal church, but it wasn't holiness. It was it's Pentecostal type, but it was it wasn't holiness. But it had Pentecostal roots, charismatic church, gifts of the Spirit. And I remember when I started this church, I started praying about something. Because salvation was something that even when I was younger kind of bothered me a little bit. And I know everybody's not going to hear this today, and that's fine, but I need to sow this seed. It bothered me because I lived a life of fear, thinking that my mistakes and my failures would cost me my salvation. Now, if any of you live perfect, if you have, then please raise your hands and I will give you the microphone and I'll sit down. Noah's a live perfect. And I said, Lord, as I start this church, I need to know. I've heard about salvation. There's some that teach you can just live any way you want and you're okay. There's some that teach you make one mistake, you're in hell. God, something's not gelling with me on salvation. And here's what the Lord clearly spoke to me. I've shared it with my parents, and Melanie has heard it too. I've shared this for 16 years. It's not changed. I asked God about salvation. And he spoke to me clearly and said this: you were not saved by your good works. You cannot be unsaved by your bad works.
That's right.
I want you to process that for a minute. If we believe that the cross of Jesus paid for our sins, but then we got to add something else to it. What was the point of Christ paying the price?
Right.
Why didn't God do something else different? Why just put in his word, by the way, y'all, the law no longer applies, and just do what you can and you'll be okay. There was a plan in place God made. Such a sacrifice of Christ that paid the price for our sins. Hebrews 10 is so clear on this. And let me just share this. And I know this is a different direction. This is not planned, but this needs to be said this morning. Because I think sometimes we get in a place, this is where God has changed me. Because years ago, I lived in fear of my salvation. Hebrews 10 says this in verse 10 or verse 9. Then said he, I came to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, talking about the law, that he may establish the second, by the which we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all.
Thank you, Jesus.
It goes on to say this, every priest standing daily, ministering, offering the same sacrifice, which can never take away sins. And that's the same thing we do, right? Well, if I fast hard enough, I'll be saved. If I give enough tithes, I'll be saved. If I raise my hands, I'll be saved. Speak in tongues long enough, I'll be saved. Pray enough, I'll be saved. What are we doing? We're making sacrifices, banking that and gearing that toward our salvation. But none of those things, and they're all important, they're part of God's work, but none of those things take away our sin. The only thing that takes away our sin is the blood of Jesus Christ. That's the only thing that takes away our sin.
That's right.
And what has happened is churches have took control with people to keep control over what they have to do to stay saved, what they don't have to do to stay saved. It's control, control. Church, we don't control. You know, I hear that all the time. So many pastors try to control their flocks. You know what a pastor is? He's a shepherd.
That's right.
He's not a boss. He's a shepherd. He leads. He protects. He serves. He right. brings healing as he can to the flock. That's what a shepherd does.
Right.
He goes on to say this. If that's not convinced you, listen to this. But this man, talking about Jesus, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat on the right hand of God. Hallelujah. That's Hebrews chapter 10, and that is the old King James Version, in case you're wondering.
Yes, thank you, Jesus.
It's not some modern thing that y'all are like, oh, where's he getting that verse? This is the old KJV, as the religious folks like to say. Then he goes on to verse 14. By one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. It just keeps on going. I mean, how do we get around this teaching? It's there. I didn't put it there. That's been there a long time. Then it closes out by saying this. This is all in Hebrews chapter 10. Their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now where remission of this is, there is no more offering for sin.
Thank you.
It's finished. Jesus, you finished it. I don't have to keep making sacrificial offerings in what I do religiously to get saved or stay saved.
Right.
You paid the price. And I know that goes far beyond what some of us have heard. It goes beyond what I believed in. I'm telling you. When I first started teaching the real message of grace and God's righteousness, I was scared. I knew it was truth, but I was scared. Now, for those that say you can live like you want because of grace, that's also a falseness. Because those of us that are in Christ, guess what we're going to do? We're going to live the best we can for Christ. Because
right.
our heart's been changed. We're not going to go out and just do everything we want thinking, well, I'm under grace, under grace, under grace, under grace. Because if your heart's not really been changed, have you really been changed? But once we've been changed, we got to walk in the power and acknowledgement that every single thing I do doesn't send me down. If that's the case, church, we're trying to earn our way to heaven instead of letting Christ do what he did. That's why the cross is so powerful. That's why it's such a symbol of controversy, because of what it did. Glory. And I'm glad it's quiet, because I want you to hear this. When I first started teaching this, my mom and dad struggled with it a little bit. They told me, said, you know, we just... But as they begin to hear the word and see it for themselves, it's all through your Bible. You begin to realize, man, it's Jesus, period. It's Jesus only. Right. It's not Jesus and I got to. Right. Jesus, I got to. Salvation and I've got to. Redemption, but I have to. Jesus paid the price. And we can rest in that salvation.
Yes, thank you, Jesus.
We don't have to live in fear day by day by day. Sometimes God, and my hope in sharing that was because God moved me from that to where I am today. As I begin to study his word. Because I'll be honest with you. I used to make fun of the Baptist. Because they say once saved, always saved, right? You used to make fun of them old Baptist people. Because we was Pentecostal, man, we knew better. Man, we slain the spirit, shouted, danced, jumped chairs, spoke in tongues, laid hands. Woo! We knew what was going on. We had the power, brother. We were the cream of the crop. We were the Pentecostals. You used to feel sorry for the Baptist folks, bless their hearts. They don't know how to raise their hands. They don't ever feel the spirit of God. They don't know what the power of God is like. But as I began to read God's word and him open it up to me, and as he spoke to me that day clearly, I began to see. Remember what the Bible says? Just as in Adam, all men died, so in Christ is all men made alive. Think about that. I told Mama the other day, I shared it before, we sit at the office working and sharing this with her, but think about this, and I know y'all want to get out of here. I think most of us would agree that we had nothing to do with the sin of Adam. Am I right, Michael? You're like, why am I cursed? I wasn't there. I didn't eat that apple, right? I mean, I can't, you know, my wife's nagging me. I can't, it wasn't, you know, Eve's fault, not her fault, not Tammy's fault. But I got to suffer Tammy all these years because of Eve. Most of us would agree we have nothing to do with the sin of Adam. Even Melly's brought that before. Says, you know what? Don't seem fair sometimes that we, you know, that we're under this curse because of Adam. I didn't do anything. I'm Melanie. I was born perfect. I'm sweet. I didn't do anything wrong. I'm not the one that ate of the bad fruit. I'm the one that did what God didn't say. But yet I'm being punished for something that I didn't do. Guess what? You've been saved for something you didn't do. Yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory. Yeah. Listen to that. Man.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Because the ones that think that grace is not eternal will point out that they're born in sin. Yeah, we are, and I agree with that. But just as I had nothing to do with the fall of man, I have nothing to do with the redemption of man. Oh, Lord. Jesus paid that price.
That's right.
Got me excited there at the end. Yes, amen, darling. Jesus is Lord. That's right. That's what she said in baby tongue. Jesus is Lord. I want to open up the altar this morning. I want to offer this morning to those of you that you need God to move you in a different place. You're at a point in your life and you need God to move. And you want to be where God wants you to be. I want to open it up this morning to come up here and stand with me and let's pray together. Let's pray that God will direct you, that God will speak to you clearly, and that God will give you the faith and the courage to step out and move to the place he has waiting on you. You're tired of your location. And you need a different location. Manny, sing that song if you would. I'm sorry, I'm going to change it on you. Sing that Here I Am, Standing in Your Presence. Can you do that one?
Yes.
Y'all stand on your feet with me. She sings this song, the altar is open. You want to be prayed for to be moved where God wants you to come up here and stand with me.
Here we are.
mouth, and then you come on up. Let's pray. Be where we're at, but the blessing is definitely waiting where you want to put us. And I just pray, God, that you speak to your people at this altar,
yes,
that you move on their hearts and their minds, that you clearly show up, you give them the peace, the courage, the strength to step out and to walk toward where you're leading them, Lord, that they will find their hope, they will find their peace, they will find their deliverance, they will find their healing, that the pain will be lifted off, the burden will be removed.
Hallelujah.
The stronghold will be broke.
Hallelujah.
The darkness will flee in the name of Jesus, God. Pour upon your people what they need today, that they will be able to move into that place that you have waiting on them. In the name of Jesus,
oh,
we
hallelujah.
Declare it and we believe
hallelujah.
It. Speak, Lord, like only you can. We give you praise for it. Hallelujah. Amen.
Jesus
Amen.
Says.
Amen. Let me pray for many if I can. She's going to have something done this week and we need to pray for her.